ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Parchinibari. Text number 40, 39 and 40. There are two verses, but the one verse on the board, we'll read that first. And today is also the disappearance day of Baladeva Vidyabhushan and Ganga Mata Goswami. Yatra Bhagavata Rajam Sarvo Vishadhyasya Bhagavad Unanukataha Shravana Yagra Chaitasaha Yatra Bhagavata Rajam Sadvo Vishadayas Shaha Bhagavad Guna Nukatana Sarvam Yagra Chaitasa Yatra Bhagavata Rajam Sadvo Vishadayaha Bhagavad Guna Nukatana Shravana Yagra Chaita Saha. Yatra, where? Bhagavata, great devotees. Rajan, O King. Sadvaha, saintly persons. Vishada Ashaha, broad-minded. Bhagavad, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, the qualities. Anukantana, to regularly recite. Shravanam, to hear. Yagra, eager. Chaitasa, whose consciousness does mean there. Mahat, of great saintly persons. Mukharita, emanating from the mouths. Madhu beat, of the killer of the Madhu demon. Chaitra, the activities of the, or the character. Vishusa, of nectar. Fesha, surplus. Saritaha, rivers. Sarita, all around. Shravanti, flow. Ta, all of them. Yay, they who. Bihanti, drink. Abhitrista, without being satisfied. Nipa, O King. Gada, attentive. Karna, with their ears. Tan, them. Na, never. Supsanti, touch. Asana, hunger. Treat, thirst. Maya, fear, sloka, lamentation, moha, illusion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged and with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger, thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible for great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and sharing the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavan, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting, hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets a chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the flow, constant flow of the river nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in the constant hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. When one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavad Gunu Kanta Sharavam Yagra Chaitasa means always eager to find the place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted. It's significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from a liberated devotees, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. This is also confirmed in another verse. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. Thereafter, he is free from the attraction, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This way, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. As soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and attached to the Lord, and thus one can very easily attain full Krishna consciousness. The secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Om Arghyantaram Dasyan Jananjana Shakaya Sakshuru Mutam Jina Tasmei Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Bhuvakadamayam Danti Sapadantikam Maum Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Prasarni Narase Shishuni Vari Paskachai Desitarni Vancha Kopu Turubhyas Cha Vipa Sindhu Evi Cha Panyam Bhavneyo Vaishnevyo Namo Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live following the rules and regulations, thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessity of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, illusion. This is Narada Muni speaking to King Parchini Bari. Here it says, I want you to hear from pure devotees who are following the rules and regulations, purely conscious. Narada Muni, the great sage Narada Muni, he's the interscholastic preacher. He can go all over material spiritual world. He can go anywhere. In his former life, he was Upabara, described in the 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a demigod. He had a beautiful body. And he was always surrounded by apsaras, beautiful heavenly damsels. And so when the kirtan party came by, he was singing cinema songs. He wasn't interested. So he was cursed by the demigods to take birth as the son of a maidservant. But that curse turned out to be a benediction, because that maidservant was engaged in the service of Mahatma's great souls, who were chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni, although he was a 5-year-old boy, he also heard from these Mahatmas, great souls, and rendered service to them. And not only that, but he took the remnants of their foodstuff. So these things, the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee, the water that washes the feet of the pure devotee, and the remnants of the food of the pure devotee. These are the three substances, very important substances, which we should always be eager for these. King Rahugana told Jadbharat that unless you smear the dust from the pure devotee all over your body, this is the way to attain pure devotional service. So taking the dust from the feet of a devotee means to follow his instructions. And also, we should be eager to take the remnants of the pure devotee. One Kali Krishna Das in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he would go to where the devotees were taking prasadam, and when they throw their plates, he would take the remnants. It says he ate the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. So that was quite a few. And Kali Krishna, he was eager for that remnants of a pure devotee. Because by taking the remnants of a pure devotee, we become purified. So we should try always get the dust and get the remnants and the water, wash the feet, pure devotee. This is the Vaishnava etiquette. When a pure devotee comes to someone's place, first thing they do is they wash his feet. Maharaj Prithu did that. When the four Kamaras came to visit Maharaj Prithu, he washed their feet. He took the humble position. He changed his royal dress. He put on deer skin he took the water, he washed the little feet of the four Kumaras. And there are stories of people washing the feet and then distributing it to their family members and putting it on their head and drinking it also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a fever, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a fever and they couldn't reduce the fever. They tried so many things. So he said the remedy, you wash the feet of a pure Brahmana and bring that to me. So he drank that water and his fever was cured. So here it says the pure devotees who are following the rules and regulations. These rules and regulations, of course, there are four basic rules and regulations that we all follow. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And also, there's the 64 rules and regulations given in Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami. In the process, we're following the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is divided into two parts. One is Vaidhi Bhakti and one is Raghunuga Bhakti. So in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, where one is required to follow the rules and regulations, because without following the rules and regulations, it's not possible to advance in Krishna consciousness. It says if you act whimsically, then that will be detrimental to your advancement in spiritual life. And then in the second part is the Raghunuga Bhakti. When one is free from all material contamination, then one can... one is not required to follow the rules and regulations, but be a pure devotee because he wants to set the example, and he does follow the rules and regulations just to set the example for others. But he's not forced, he doesn't need to follow the rules and regulations because he's already attained a higher goal, a higher consciousness. So in the neophyte stage, we have to follow rules and regulations. In the liberated stage, you can spontaneous attraction to the Lord is not required, but it's also, the devotee does that. Sanatana Goswami was talking to Haridas Thakur. He said, some people preach, but they don't act properly. And some people act properly, but they don't preach. But you do both. Achar and Prachar. You do both. Told Haridas Thakur, you do both. So Srila Prabhupada said that one should not sit on the Vyasasan unless one's pure and is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So this is a important that we hear the glories of the Lord from the right source. If you hear from a from the wrong person, it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It has a poisonous effect. Milk is pure by nature, but if lips serpent touches the milk, it becomes poisonous. So there may be so many people who are reciting Bhagavatam, but they're not pure in their consciousness. They're reciting Bhagavatam for name and fame, to get pratistha. This is called false, subtle sex life, profit, adoration, distinction. Though we should not hear from such people. In Gaudiya Vaishnava line, in our line, we should only hear from those souls who are following the line of the previous acharyas, sadhu, shastra, and guru. Those who follow in the line of sadhu, shastra, and guru, those are the people we should hear from. We know that a Vaishnav can be recognized by he wears Vaishnav tilak, he wears kunti mala, and he has tika. This is a Vaishnav. And Jai Sri Sri Gorni Tai, Krishna Balaram, Radhe Shama Sundar. When Mahaprabhu was teaching his students. If they came to school without tilak, he'd say, "I know you didn't do your puja today. Now you should go home and put on tilak." He was very strict about this. As well, putting tilak, the puja, your puja will not have the same effect. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, if a king sees a Vaishnav without tilak, he should sit him on an ass backwards and ride him out of town. So Bhakti Siddhanta was very strict. And this tilak, we mark the body every day with tilak, 12 places. He says that first we should mark the forehead. The forehead first, that is a must. He says that. This face without tilak, he said, looked like a crematorium. He said, those who wear the three-line tilak, Mayavadis, Shivites, said their face looks like the footprint of a dog. And it says in Nectar Devotion, this is forbidden for a Vaishnava to wear this three-line tilak. So this is the sign of a Vaishnava. Here it says, in a holy place like Vrindavan, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets a chance to hear from a pure devotee in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river nectar to come to their mouth, the pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. So we're sitting in the holy place of Vrindavan, and it may not be so easy to find those kind of devotees nowadays. Most people in Vrindavan are only interested in dharma, artha, kama, moksha, economic development, sense gratification, and most maybe liberation. But there are some Rasika Bhaktas out there. If we're able to search them out, we can hear from them. Of course, Rupa Goswami says that one tongue and 2 ears is not enough. That we need millions of ears and millions of tongues. Then we can hear and chant properly. And it says this hearing is a constant flow of nectar. The water in the river is very pure. Of course, nowadays it's not. It's harder to find a pure river anywhere. But formerly, 5,000 years ago, the well, and people lived in villages, they'd have several different wells, one well for washing clothes, one well for drinking water, one well for taking bath. But the river water, it can be used for all of these purposes. So the river is constantly flowing, so it is pure, uncontaminated. So this is considered like nectar. But only the swan-like men, the crow-like men and the swan-like men. The crow-like men, they want to hear. The crow, by nature, it is looking for the garbage. But the swan lives in a place where there are lotus flowers, in a beautiful place where the nectar is. The swan, the Paramahansa, it's called as a person, the most advanced stage of sannyas, Paramahansa, he can take a glass of milk and separate the milk from the water. This is a Paramahansa, pure devotee. So that nectar flows from the mouth of a pure devotee. So only those who are following the path, on the path of Krishna consciousness, are eager for this nectar. Even in the neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness, we may want to study Srila Prabhupada's books, but After 5-10 minutes, we may fall asleep. Krishna is on every page of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but we're not getting the nectar. Why we're not getting the nectar? We're not realizing the nectar. We're still contaminated by the mode of passion and ignorance. So one has to come to the pure Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. In the stage of pure goodness, then one can hear properly. If we're still in the contaminated by the modes of nature, then we're not getting that, even though the nectar is there. It says in the nectar devotion, nectar instruction, that the holy name is pure. But if one is infected by jaundice, avidya, then one cannot taste the nectar. The sugar cane or sugar candy is sweet by nature. It can't be anything else. But if one has jaundice, then that sugar cane candy will not taste sweet. It will taste bitter. So that's the problem. We all have this problem, avidya, jaundice. We have jaundice. So the sweet nectar, chanting the holy name. What Mahaprabhu said, there's two names. Krishna, Rupa Goswami wrote the verse about the nectar of the holy name, two syllable, Krishna, Hali, so much nectar is there. But again, in the neophyte stage, we're not experiencing that nectar because we have this avidya, we have jaundice. So, of course, Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. By regular hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it says all the troubles in the heart practically becomes destroyed. And loving devotional service in the Lord becomes irrevocable fact. So all our activities are centered around purifying ourselves from the modes of material nature, coming to the mode of pure goodness. It's like we're in the shower. If someone's in the shower, you can't criticize them, hey, you're dirty. No, he's in the shower, he's trying to get clean. He may not be clean yet. He didn't finish, so he's not clean yet. So we're in the shower of Krishna consciousness. We're trying to get clean. So we have to work on it every day by chanting 16 rounds with attention, with care and attention. Try to hear the holy name. Nothing else. When we're chanting, there's so many disturbances, our mind wanders. Let's recommend we just hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There may be so many distractions. Distractions come in the mind. We're thinking about what we did 20 years ago. We're thinking about what we're going to do in the morning, what times prasadam. We're thinking about so many things. But we should set aside the time for chanting japa only to hear the holy name. We should pray to the holy name. The holy name is not different than Krishna. It says the holy name and Krishna are non-different. Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, they're all the same as Krishna. So we can, every day, before we chant japa, we can pray to the holy name that we may not commit the 10 offenses. Forgive us for our offenses and help us chant attentively without distraction. We have to work on it. So if we're feeling sleepy, then we should stand up and walk. They ask Srila Prabhupada, what should we do when we're chanting japa, we feel sleepy? He said, you should chant, you should walk like I do. You see in the CD, you see Prabhupada in his room in L.A. He chanted japa in the afternoon. He was walking back and forth. So we should not get into the rut every day I say, I'm going to sit down, chant my 16th round, I'm not going to fall asleep, and then I fall asleep. So before we fall asleep, we should stand up and walk, and that way we can chant more attentively. Here it says, when one is in the bodily conception, he feels pains of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, illusion. When one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. So this means one has to become absorbed in hearing, absorbed in kirtan, absorbed in these things, at least for that certain time when we're engaged in kirtan, we forget about our problems because we're so absorbed. And the same way when one is hearing, we should be absorbed in such a way we forget about these things, at least temporarily, until we come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Brahma-Bhuta prasana mana sosyati na kanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu ma bhaktim labhate param. When one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta, no more lamenting, no more hankering, always joyful. The residents of Golok, they're always joyful, and they never speak any unpleasant words. So that's the Shuddhisattva, pure goodness. In pure goodness, one is always joyful. But in a contaminated state, we may not always be joyful because we're always under the influence of the Adiatmak, Adibodhak, Adidaivik. But the influence of the body and the mind, influence of the other living entities, influence of the material nature, it's always attacking us. If you want to sit quietly and chant peacefully, then some flies may come and bother you, or mosquitoes, or maybe too hot, too cold, or you may have a headache, or this and that. So this way, we're always influenced by the these different disturbances. So we should hear from the pure devotees, because that pure hearing will purify the heart. The problem is the heart. It says, when one chants the holy name, if the static symptoms are not there, tears are not flowing from the eyes, hairs are not standing on end, body's not shivering, then it means your heart is steel framed. And with a steel framed heart, we cannot experience ecstatic symptoms. This means that we're still committing offenses to the holy name. Especially the 10th offense is consider I, me, mine, the thinking I'm this body, everything belongs to me. I, me, mine. One gopi told another gopi, if you have any attachments to society, friendship, and love, then don't go see that boy Govinda who's standing on the bank of Vamsibhat, engage in the rasa dance with the gopis. So we have to try to advance in Krishna consciousness by staying in the association of devotees, hearing in the association of devotees. We shouldn't go outside to hear from other people who are not in our line, in Gaudiya Vaishnava line. So today is the disappearance of Baladev Vijayabhushan. We can hear about his character. Sri Baladev Vijayabhushan appeared in 1600 near Ramuna, Orissa. In his youth, he mastered Sanskrit, grammar, poetry, and logic. After carefully studying the commentaries of Sanskrit, he took initiation in the Tattva Vidyavari, disciple succession of Sripad Madhavacharya. Baldev Vijayabhushan became a Digvijay Pandit, conqueror of all opponents, and began visiting holy places. Wherever he went, he defeated the logical sages. Wherever he went, he defeated the local sages, scholars, and sannyasis. In Jagannath Puri, he learned the super excellent philosophy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya from Radha Damodar Goswami and took initiation after converting to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In Vrindavan, he studied Srimad Bhagavatam under Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and worshipped Radha Shamasundar. In 1706, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur sent him to Jaipur to uphold the credibility of Mahaprabhu's movement. The local Ramanandis, a branch of Sri Vaishnavas, were claiming that the Bengali Vaishnavas had no right to worship Govindaji because they had no commentary and Vedanta Sutra. Lord Govindaji himself directly revealed the Govinda Vasha, a Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta, to Baldev Vijayabhushan. Using it, Baldev Vijayabhushan solidly established Gaudiya Vaishnava as an independent philosophy. He also reinstated the Bengali Vaishnavas and Govindji's worship in Jaipur. Govinda Bhasha is the only Bhakti commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So the devotees in Chopati, they do the dramas. They did a drama about Baldev Vijayabhushan. If anyone can see, it's a very wonderful drama, showing how he goes to Jaipur and they reject the worship of Radharani and told him you don't have a commentary, and he wrote the commentary and defeated them. They were defeated. So this is the greatness, Baldev Vijayabhushan. And Baldev Vijayabhushan was a Niskinchana Param Bhagavat, fully renounced, topmost devotee of Lord Krishna. His more than 24 books and commentaries have helped thousands of Vaishnavas understand the sublime philosophy of Krishna consciousness, intimate writings of the six Goswamis. Since he was devoid of false prestige, he never wrote about his birth, parentage, lineage, personal life. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Lila, Baldev Vijayabhushan is Sri Gopinath Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhum Bhattacharya. In Vraj, he serves as Sri Radha's intimate maidservant, Ratnavali Devi. So Baldev Vijayabhushan is on our line, disciple succession. He's number 28 in the Bhagavad Gita, disciple succession. Sri Ganga Mata Goswamini. From her childhood past, Princess Sachi Devi, the daughter of King Naresh Narayan of Bengal, showed unalloyed devotion to Sri Krishna. She even refused to marry on account of her genuine attachment to Krishna. After her father's demise, she ruled the kingdom, but she soon renounced it to find a bona fide spiritual master. Princess Sachi Devi met Sri Haridas Pandit, a leading guru in Vrindavan, and began performing devout bhajan to Govindaji. Although she became frail from under-eating, she would always sleep on the Yamuna sandy bank and rise before sunrise to clean Govindaji's temple. Daily she would hear Bhagavad Gita, see Govindaji's arti, circumambulate Radha Shama Sundar's Lila Stana, such as Vamsivat, Sevakunj, Nidikun, Nidivana, and Rasa Stali. Receiving encouragement from Sri Haridas Pandit, Sachi Devi completely dropped her false ego, put on rags, and went house to house in Vraj begging alms. The Brijvasis were astonished by seeing her severe renunciation. Taking her guru's suggestion, she went to Radhakund to associate with Sri Lakshmi Priya Devi Dasi, a dear disciple of Sri Haridas. Following Haridas Thakur's perfect example, Lakshmi Priya Devi chanted 300,000 names, 192 rounds of Krishna. Every day, the two ladies would circumambulate Govardhan Hill and worship Krishna. On the Guru's order, Sachidevi went to the house of Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya and most of Lord Gauranga's eternal associates had already returned to Golok Vrindavan. Sachidevi restored Sarvabhuma's house and established first-class worship of Sri Sham Roy, a deity given to her by a Jaipur Brahmana. Every day she lectured on Srimad Bhagavatam. Her classes became popular, attracting listeners from miles around. Many people, including Brahmins and King Mukunda Dev, took initiation from Sachidevi. In Navadvip Dham, Sripad, this explanation is given here in the Navadvip Dham Purkram book. One day, Sri Ganga Sagar Mela, on the day of Ganga Sagar Mela, Sachidevi, who was residing in Jagannath Puri, desired to bathe in the Ganges. That night, the Ganges flowed from the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and came to Sachi's ashram. Entering Ganga Devi's waters, Sachi floated to the lotus feet of Jagannath Swami inside the temple. After unlocking the doors, the next morning the pujaris were surprised to find her inside the temple. Thinking she was a thief, they immediately put Sachidevi in jail. Seeing this mistake, Lord Jagannath appeared simultaneously in a dream to both the Puri king and head pujari. Lord ordered them to release Sachidevi and take initiation from her. From then on, she became famous as Ganga Mata Goswamini. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.